NewWineMedia.com.
Stan McCurtain.
He's not just good because we felt or were moved a certain way. Well, he's not good because of that. He's good because we follow him, because we believe what he said. We believe, just simply by faith, we believe that he actually did what he says he did, that he removed all our sins. That through the blood of Jesus, he removed everything that was a hindrance to us. It is not incumbent upon any of us to feel a certain way, to have our emotions spring up a certain way, or to, you know, we were taught for years, you know, give a gift, you know, and God will bless it. No, he may bless it, but that's not how that's not how we get anything from God. God loves us. He loves us so much, he just pours it out. He's the cookie jar. He's the cookie jar knocked over. He's the cookie jar that has no end in it. It just overflows. It just comes after you. You can just stand still, and it just overtakes you. Healing, we don't have to chase healing. Healing comes to us. It's right here, right now, in this room right now. God is here. All of heaven is here. There is no resource that is withheld right this very moment. None. None. To meet every need. God has given us, it says in the Word, God has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Everything. With not one thing missing. And if we live, though, in this world, it lies to us. Our eyes lie to us. Our mind lies to us. Our emotions lie to us. Especially if we believe we've got to have a feeling that God's going to heal us. We don't have to have that. We have a salvation that's by faith. We can be happy. We know that God's the healer. We know that Jesus is the healer. We know that the price is paid for already. We don't have to feel it. We don't even know how he's going to do it. We're kids in the kingdom of love. It's a love kingdom. Isn't that good? That means everybody sitting in here has everything they need for life. And I know that our carnal minds, because I've been there, we've all been there, sits and puts you in a place and says, oh, no, not for you. And just heavy weights are on you, you know. You don't feel it. You can't see it. God doesn't like you. Tells you that's an outright lie. God's not with you. God's not this. God's not that. God's not healing. Whatever it is. And it pushes you away. That's darkness. But it's so good that the light that shines in the darkness cannot be overcome. The light of Jesus Christ that shines in the darkness cannot be put off. It cannot be extinguished. But I'm telling you, the light puts darkness on the run. And moves that out of our life. Amen. So everybody in here, whatever it is that you think you need for life, I'm going to tell you right now, and it's not a lie, and I mean it for real, God will provide. And you say, well, how? He's God. He can do anything he wants. He has time in his hand. He has everything in his hand. He has all your flesh. He has your timeline, everything. And he can do anything he wants to do. And the thing is, he wants to do it. He loves us. He loves us. It's poured out upon us. This morning we're singing, we're worshiping, and the whole, all of heaven, if you can imagine, it's immense, immense, immense. You can't, there's no end. All of heaven is here. It's here. We don't even have to jump up and down and shout glory, glory, which I love to do. We don't even have to do that. It's here. It's here. It's closer than we think. Closer than we think. Closer than every song that we sang was. You know, we don't have to sing a song to try to get God to come to us. We don't. Because he paid a great, great price for him to get to us. The blood of Jesus, blood of his son. He paid that price already. And he's taking possession. He's right here, right here, right here. He doesn't have to do anything. This brother doesn't have to do anything. This sister doesn't have to do anything. Nothing. Because the love of God is right there. And it's being poured out. It's simply by faith. Even on the unbelievers, it's right there. It's right there. I just wanted to make sure we all understand that no one is left out. No one is left out. No one is left out. The cookie jar, you know, comes to you. Here. You know, pours it out. Anything you want. It's bigger than you think. It comes to you. It comes to everybody in here. So, if you don't feel like it today, well, it's okay, because God is here anyway. If you don't have that feeling or that understanding or you're depressed, it's okay, because God's here anyway. And he is in great pursuit of all of us, and he's not going away. He's not going away. The news of the day, he doesn't listen to the news, because it doesn't have anything to do with His glory coming to you. He doesn't listen to what your boss says or what the company's going to do. Why? Because it doesn't have anything to do with His love toward Jay. And the same with all of us. Isn't that great? You know, maybe you didn't go to church all your life. Maybe you went to church and you fell away. And it doesn't matter. I'm here to tell you it doesn't matter. Because He loves you. Man, that's great, isn't it? That just levels everything. That just removes all the burdens that you carry. Why carry them? Why carry them? You know, just set them down. Walk away. I just walk away happy. And just walk away happy. Amen. I thought I would take this time up here this morning and just share with you about this past year that me and my wife have been through. This 2014. It's been a most unusual year. And share some scriptures that really kind of led into this 2014. And it's got a couple of weeks left. And I can't wait to see what God does with it. I cannot wait to see what God does with it. You know, like, just like kids. And I heard this in my spirit last week was, come see what Dad's doing. Look at this. Look what Dad's doing over here. Look what Father's doing. Come see. You know, if you're in a family, you've heard that before. Come and see what they're doing. Mom and Dad are doing something. See what they're doing. You know, and as kids, you just run over there and just look. You don't, it's none of your strength. It doesn't require anything from you. It just requires you to just come over there and just take a look. Wow. Whoa. The roots of religion are so heavy on us that in an instant, in our, the best of us, if we are not careful, the roots of religion just grow down and start rooting in and bringing in darkness. Well, if I go to church, God will do something for me. No, He won't. He'll do something for you right now. You don't have to go to church. You know, well, if I give my tithe, God will do something for me. No, you don't. He'll do something for you right now. And I'm talking something good. He loves you. He loves you. You don't have to talk Him into pouring out the love. It's just who He is. It just flows out from Him. You know, you don't have to clean your life up. It just flows out from Him. Wow. Wow. If I had some money, I'd go be a minister and all that kind of stuff. Really, why don't you just start right now? God loves you. He'll go with you wherever you go. You know, He'll talk with you right now. You know, I used to think that you have to go to school, seminary, and all that stuff. What a waste of time, waste of money, you know, all that kind of stuff. Because He'll talk to you right now. You don't have any understanding of the Word. You don't need to go to great lessons or do online things or any of that kind of stuff. You can do them. They're fine. But He'll come sit down with you and open the Bible with you. And if He doesn't teach you anyway, you know that you're not going to figure it out anyhow. And He just pours His love into you. Pours His love into you because He's already paid the great price. He's already paid the price to get to Gene. And there's nothing that Gene can do. Nothing. Not any. In the rest of his existence on earth, there's nothing that he can do to get God to love him or to stop that flow. There's nothing. He really did pay the price. Yeah. But that's it. You're like me. I have no strength to do anything, you know, physically, you know, that kind of thing. Amen. Open your Bibles with me to Psalm 65. We'll start right there. I'm going to kind of move through this a little bit quick, so we got to be done by 12:15. You got some water, babe? Oh, really? Wow. Thanks.
That is good.
Psalm 65, real quick. Psalm 65. New Year's last year. 2013, getting ready, you know, December 31st, you know, and people want to meet together and kind of watch the clock go by till it gets to 12, and then hoorah, and then we go to bed, you know. And I've never been a big fan of that, ever. I've never been a big fan of looking forward into the new year and getting some kind of saying, you know, God's great in 88, or that kind of thing, you know. I don't do that, you know. I don't do that because I've always thought that, you know, God, nothing changes. My salvation doesn't change. I mean, the click of a year of the clock or the calendar, God is still God. He's as great as He was. So anyway, that's kind of my thing. Even in the year 2000, you know, Y2K, you know, and everybody's flying upside down and doing all kinds of stuff, I was still in the flesh a little bit, and I said, I was PO'd at that stuff. I said, bull honky. I got that squared away. And I said, oh, it's going to end, huh? Well, God hadn't told me a thing about that. I mean, I'm thinking, you know, I'm one of his kids. He went, sir, that's pretty big. That's a pretty big event. Don't you think he would tell me about it? You know? And I believe he would. So I hadn't heard anything, you know, and I said, plus I don't believe God's, the kingdom of heaven, you know, is on the Central Standard Time. I can't believe that, you know. So at 10 o'clock, I shut it down. I'm going to bed. See y'all in the morning. You know, let everybody else who's got their bags packed and ready to go to whatever it is, you know, you remember those days if you were in the church. And I went to bed. Got up the next morning and said, "Wah! I'm here. I'm still here." I walked into church and said that right now. You know where we were at the time. "I'm still here. Ah!" You know. So New Year's, that was an unusual event, but this particular New Year's, we were sitting in there in our house, and I had our kids there. And about 10 o'clock, I'd had about all I could take, you know, waiting on this 12 o'clock thing. And I said, "Everybody go get their Bibles." And everybody got their Bibles, sat down. I said, "We're going to share the word here. I mean, what else is there better to do, you know?" And anyway, in that, we opened up, and the word that came forth from my daughter-in-law and really was verified in my heart was Psalm 65. And just to keep things fast, the scripture, the sentence that stood out in Psalm 65 that we took to our hearts was verse 11. So you can look down there in verse 11. And it says, talking to God, it says, "You have crowned the year with your bounty." You know, and I heard later, and you know, in the coming year that was, we were not the only ones that got that scripture, but there were other Christians, you know, around the world or across the nation, you know, that got that particular one, and that was true. So that was a good opening. And the next day, January 1st, 2014, I was in a hurry. I was eager to get out to my desk and to open Psalm 65 and begin to read that and put that in my heart and to see everything that it had in it. And as I was doing that, God reminded me. He said, "You know that scripture that you saw a couple of months ago? I've been asking you for a couple of months to go look at that. You said you would." You know, and every time he reminded me, I was always driving in the car or something. I said, "I'll do that." And, of course, by the time I got home or finished from my work, I'd forgot, right? We're kids. We forget things like that. And so I said, "Oh, that's right. I'll do it right now. Excuse me. So I'm sorry." And so I opened up my Bible to a scripture that just absolutely kind of, I thought it was strange and it kind of was mystery to me. So let's open up to that. Jeremiah 29. And it was strange to me because all the churches I've ever been in, except for this one. I mean, yeah, you know, when we prayed for people, but it just really wasn't out of this particular type of heart that we prayed. Jeremiah 29, verse 7. Because of time here, I'm going to speed it up here. And this is, you can read that and get the background on where they were. This was a word that God sent to the Jews that had been taken to Babylon, of all places. This was a bad place. And it says, verse 7, it says, "Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you in exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will have welfare." Have you ever heard such a thing? "For in its welfare you'll have welfare"? I've never heard that. I ran with the Word of Faith guys there for a long time. They don't say anything like that. If we prayed for welfare, we're praying for our welfare. "Lord, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. Lord, I need, Lord, I need, Lord, I need, Lord, I need. Help me, help me, help me, help me, help me." So this, in my background, was odd. Pray for the welfare of the city. You know, all those people. This was Babylon. These were not nice people. These were not just, you know, kind of like a little bit of wayward Christians. These were bad people. These were bad, bad people. This was like a whole city, if you will, of Hell's Angels, with no disregard for anything, God or life or anything. They were bad, bad. And God says, pray for the welfare of the city. All those people. And I don't know if they did, but when I saw that in passing, and that's why I put a question, that doesn't sound right. And I found out it was right. Pray for the welfare of the city where I've sent you, and in its welfare, you will have welfare. I said, well, that's Lord, you know, and here it is, God speaking to me, January 1st, 2014, and it's God speaking to me, and I mean, this is, I'm not having a hard time doing it, I'm just having, really having a little sorrow in my heart because I haven't seen this part of God before. And I managed to ask him, is there a New Testament side to this? And he took me to 1 Timothy. Turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Listen to what it says here. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I urge that entreaties and prayers and petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. Doesn't even say on behalf of all Christian men, of church people. No, it says may be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. I mean, God just rocked me again, where I could see that prayer was important, but it's also what we prayed for. Pray for the welfare of the city where I've sent you. Pray for all men, those in authority over you. And it just, he heaped it upon me. And because I haven't been doing that, I remember I repented and repented and repented and cried and repented and cried and repented because I hadn't done that. I mean, yeah, I wanted all the blessings, you know. I wanted to consume all the blessings that I thought God would bring on my flesh, you know. Well, the lust of my flesh, I wanted to do that, but I hadn't looked out there with God's heart and seen all those people. Oh, man. And it came with a blessing. It came with a promise. So that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. That sounds good, doesn't it? I mean, if we live that kind of life, that would pretty much settle almost everything that causes stress, isn't it? And there it is. If we'll just believe what God tells us. Just simply believe it. We don't have to understand it, but that's the way it is in the kingdom. That's the way it is with his heart. That's the way it is in the spirit. Wow. And I can tell you, just from being here for a short period, I've never run across another church that prays as much as this church. I can tell you that right now. Hands down. I don't even have to take a thought about it. Isn't that true, babe? Oh, my gosh. And that's good. My goodness. So, I told God laid it upon my heart to begin praying for the city where he had put me, which is this Pasadena. And he's also put me in the state of Texas, and he also put me in the United States of America. And there are many authorities over me and my wife and my household, many authorities. And it begins here in this city. So I began to pray for the welfare. These are people I don't know. These are people that come from every walk of life. These are people that probably, I mean, I'm just guessing, most of them are probably not Christians, you know. They may not be good people. They may be, but you can imagine that. Think of all the authorities. So I began to pray over the city here, that all the people that are in authority, that would be from the guy that collects trash or whatever to the mayor, and everybody in between, and everybody in between in the state of Texas, from whatever might be the least to the greatest, which would be the governor. And in the United States of America, whatever might be the least of all the authorities that are over me there, to the greatest, all the way up to the Oval Office, right? And I began to pray for their welfare, to bless them and their households, and to bless them, their welfare. And I even had to stop and ask God, welfare, what do you mean by welfare? I mean, does that mean, he worked it out with me. I pray for their health, their healing. I pray for them for prosperity in every area of their life. And I pray for peace and security in their house. That's welfare. And I began to pray that way. God changed my life. I was asking this great God who loves us so much to pour out the blessings of his existence upon, well, virtually all my creation that I walked in ever, you know, and it changed my life to such a degree. And it changed my life. It changed everything. Let me I'm just going to read to you some of the things that God has done just as blessings here in the that involves you. These are things that I probably, no doubt, I couldn't have gone and even imagined. There's no way you can write the script for what God's going to do in your life when you just settle down and begin to follow Him and listen to Him and be kind of led like a child, just kind of doing these things. Or it really, doing things like this really kind of forced me to look at maybe just how religious I was, which is not a good thing, but then to put it down and to go where I really wanted to go. Listen to this. This is testimony. I've already been down the year. I'm not getting ready to go into the year. These are just some of them. You've heard a lot of some of these. You know, my grandson's work, boo, with God. I mean, wow. You know, we have a company that we do work every day. We work, and God has blessed our work and blessed us. And we haven't taken offerings to Him. We haven't had to give some kind of big offering like they told us in the Word of Faith. You know, give $1,000, so I'll give you $10,000 back and all that kind of stuff. Don't even go there. He loves us. And I'm learning that. Look what He does. Just following God. Just following God. I mean, He kept us in work, and there's been big changes in the people that are my peers out in this area. And some of them aren't even there anymore because they don't have any work. I have work. I don't even advertise. I told God, I don't even know how this works. I don't even know how this works. And me and Bonnie have just had to stand and we don't do anything except worship Him, praise Him. And that's what we did this year. We're still here. We're doing well. You know? Wow. You know, we had to work through the old church that we had to sell. I mean, it sold faster than I thought. And it really sold easier than we thought. You know, when you get ready to do those kind of things, darkness comes in, right? Well, it's going to be a long time. Well, you know, you got to fix it up right. Nobody's going to buy this thing. Blah, blah, you know. And I mean, boom, boom. Really? And, you know, and so we rejoiced in that. Wow. You know, and as I'm saying some of these things, if you listen to your carnal mind will say, well, this happened because he did this, because he did that, because they did this thing. And I'm telling you, that's a lie. Do not listen to that voice. It's only by the glory of God, and it's only because he loves all of us here. He loves us. The cookie jar is turned over. There's no top on it. Religion puts a top on that cookie jar. Well, you know, if you just give your tithe, you know, God will take, you know. I mean, what? Excuse me? That's not right. You know, Bonnie's family, we've seen great turnarounds just on their family members and things and gatherings. We had a gathering yesterday in San Antonio with all members of the family, except for one that God's still working on. But other than that, the whole gathering was a joy. I mean, we had a great time. And these are people embedded in our family, that her side particularly, that was at war with one another, you know. But God has done great work. You know, Boo was baptized. I baptized him down south from here in one of the bayous, I think. Yeah. It works. That was a great thing. My son was baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know, this year. And I'm just hitting the high spots. There's many, many others that I probably don't know. I'm probably, you know, and, my great granddaughter was born this year. And it was told us that there were some issues before she was born, you know, physical type things. And we went and prayed for that and put that in God's hands. And there's no problem, you know, no issue, none at all. Because God, well, he loves us, all of us. I have new brothers and sisters that are beyond compare. I never knew. I'm glad I know now, you know, but I was really nervous. Even just thinking about getting up here and sharing with them, I went to God and I said, God, these are Holy Ghost people. And I don't mean that in a theological sense. I mean that in a reality sense. These are people that know you. I don't know that I have anything to say to them. I mean, they should be talking to me. I like to hear them talk. They have great testimonies all the time. And they pray. Wow. They pray. And they praise God. Wow. So I had to lay down, you know, still pride is all that is, and lay that down, let God lift me up, because I mean, how do you speak to the precious sons of God. How do you do that? You that sit out here that are the most important thing in all of God's creation. How do you do that? You can't talk to them like the flesh would. These are people that have great honor before the throne. They stand before Almighty God because of the blood of Jesus, holy, blameless, and beyond reproach. I mean, how do you do that? Very carefully, with great love is the only way you can do that. With great love is to love the people. You can't do it any other way or else it's not right. And, you know, and you just wouldn't feel right. So thank you for being new brothers and sisters to me. You bless me. The new church, everything, Bo, everybody is amazing. I mean, 2014, I'm being blessed. And probably one of the biggest ones, or what I think is one of the biggest ones, was I came became familiar with Darren Wilson.
Holy Spirit.
Father of Lights, yes. Anyway, I didn't know that stuff even existed, you know, and some kind of way I heard something about this movie called Holy Ghost, and I kind of followed the links, you know, online, and I became aware of that, and we could go watch a premiere of it before it was released for like $5. I said, sounds good to me. I'll pay my $5. And me and Bonnie went and watched it, you know, in late August, I think is what it was. And, wow. I couldn't believe, this is what he showed. How many saw the Holy Ghost movie? You haven't seen that yet? You need to come over to my house. We'll watch that. Okay. And come today. It's fine with me. And we'll watch it because what it did for me was, I got to see in kind of up close, you see people walking with God in this earth in all kinds of unusual places and the love of God moving through them to touch all these people that had no right to receive anything from God. But because of the blood of Jesus, they do, you know. And I got to see what you do when you take the real good news. You know, yes, it's good news that Jesus went to the cross and all that. And we know that, and Roman Road and all that kind of stuff. We can have that memorized, and you know that really won't help anybody until you demonstrate it. Well, if Jesus really went to the cross for that lady right there in front of you who doesn't know Jesus, doesn't know God, doesn't even want to know him, how can you demonstrate it? You know, and you see them do it time and time again. I think, that's it. I see it now. I can see it. You know, and that's the dream that I've had all my Christian life. That's the dream. That's the dream. I hear people talk about dreams sometimes from the pulpit, and I don't know what they're talking about. I've never knew. But I can tell them now, that's the dream. That's the dream. And it changed my life because I could see love in action. I could see love and the gospel walking among people who didn't deserve anything from a human point of view. And God just loving them. I mean, God, don't you check in with the theologians? I don't think they like you. You know, you're not in line with theology. And he's not. Jesus wasn't either. And we're not to be either. And absolutely incredible. And so we watched another one, Finger of God. You know, well, that like turned us upside down. And I remember telling Bonnie, I said, because we've been in the American church here, in this strata of kind of faith church, word of faith, kind of blah, you know, those, what we call the just a regular church. And, we came out of the Baptist church, by the way. And, I said, that's it, babe. I said, I've seen too much now. I know that the power of God has not waned one bit. It has not stopped one bit. It doesn't have anything to do with the times. Doesn't have anything to do with what's going on in Washington, D.C. or in any government around this earth. Doesn't have anything to do with any of us. God's power is displayed clearly throughout this earth. Except in this little strata where I'm at, where we're at. This little church strata. And I said, we are out of here. I'm driving this family and I'm putting it in reverse and we're getting out of here. I'm getting out of here. I don't know. I've never seen this place before, but I didn't know we were stuck in a place like that, but here we are. I'm getting out of here because the places that I've been, we've been, we both know this, people get prayed for, they never get healed. You know, there's never a whole lot of stuff that goes on. You know, we know God should, but we don't know why he doesn't. You know, and sometimes the worship leader even starts out, you start out, well, we don't know why God doesn't heal sometimes. I mean, we don't start out a worship service to the Almighty God like that. You know, it's not, well, you know. So anyway, that was my declaration to her. And I'm doing it, and I'm getting us out of there. And God's first stop that we make on that journey out of that unbelief and out of that religion and out of that, as good as it may be, as good as it may sound, it's religion. The first stop, see, plants me in this these crazy people, you know, over in New Wine Christian Fellowship, and it has blessed my socks off. I mean, we've been in churches to where you go to open for prayer and nobody prays. They just sit there looking around. I don't know what they're doing. You know, they never bring their Bibles. Even when they worship, they never open their Bibles. And what are you doing? You just following the bouncing ball, or what are you doing? You know. So it's really blessed us. I can't emphasize that quite enough. It's been a blessing. And those Darren Wilson documentaries have, I know they blessed many people, and they have blessed us so much and opened up my life to the love of God rather than just knowing about God. We can know all we know about healing, and we can go through the Word and show how healing is a part of the covenant and all that stuff, but that doesn't help anybody get healed. I just had knowledge. And here I was, I thought I left head knowledge behind a decade ago. I find it's still here. I got to get rid of that because it's wrong. It makes wrong assumptions. It judges wrongly. It really doesn't even know anything about healing. Healing comes from the love of the Father that's right here. Amen. And the love of the Father over all of our households and over all of our children. We have investments that are going out into the future. Don't we, children? And they go further than that, grandchildren. Man, isn't that great? We get to, and in my case, it's over me and my wife. My household is me and my wife, my sons, my daughters, and their wives, and my grandkids, and then my great grandkids, and I go out one more generation, my great great grandkids. They haven't yet arrived on the planet, but I can't wait. That's my, you know, I don't listen to doomsday people. Any of that kind of stuff. Because, see, I have future. I have an investment in the future. And God will not... And God has never put it upon my heart that my investment in the future will come back void. Wow. I don't listen to him. Because that's darkness. Let me just close with this. Oh. I've gone over 2 minutes. I'm sorry. As fast as I can. Let me turn to Luke 11 real quick. This is Jesus talking. Luke chapter 11 real quick. And listen to what Jesus says. Verse 33. No one after lighting a lamp puts it away in a cellar nor under a basket, but on a lampstand, so that those who enter in may see the light. In other words, that those who are coming in can benefit from it because it shows them what's in the room. They can walk in it and go do what they need to do. He said, the eye, this is an example, the eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is clear, your whole body is full of light. But when it's bad, meaning you can't see out of it anymore, it's blind or something, your body also is full of darkness. Well, that would be true. Verse 35. Then, watch out that the light in you, which is the good news of Jesus Christ, the fact that all our price for our sins was paid, that, in us, is not darkness. Therefore, if your hope is not darkness, in other words, something doesn't come in there to mess it up. You need healing, you think you hadn't seen it in a week or two or whatever length it's been, don't receive any darkness because Jesus paid the price. God paid the price through that, and his love is upon you, nothing standing between you, and don't receive any darkness. You know, you want to see darkness? You know, all you do is turn on the news. And then sometimes, even you go to churches, you see people that prophesy and say they had this great vision and thing. And it's darkness. It's doom. It's all based on sinful Christians not doing what they're supposed to do. I don't receive that. But that clouds up that issue that we have all been forgiven of our sins. It's been wiped clean. Matter of fact, it says we've been translated into the kingdom of his dear son, where we have forgiveness, or we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Wow. So that's what I wanted to just let you know, that it's been a great year because God made it great. Only because of his love, didn't it? That's it. And you're part of that, you know. and you're part of that. We got 2 weeks to go. What can God do in 2 weeks? A lot, yes. We should be getting up, you know, just kind of walking out every morning. Oh, Lord, what have you done today? What have you done? Can I see? Can I see? Can I see? You know? Yes. He said, see. Come see. Come see. Wow. You know? And just like kids, we're all going to ask, wow, how'd you do that? You know? You don't ever get an answer. Just by faith. Just because of his love. Why did you do that for that person? Because I love them. You know, it's just simple. Why did you do that for me, Lord? Oh, because you love me. Wow. Wow. You just love me. Why did you do that for this loved one that I have over here, these people over here across the street? Or why did you do that? Because I just love them. Amazing. Amazing. So, Father, I give you praise this morning. And I thank you for all the precious people that you placed in my life. Every one of them, Lord. Everyone in this room. Whether I know them by name or not. Lord, you know them. And regardless of what they think they are, you are known by them as one of the beloved children. And they all, whether it's a phenomenal thing, whether they can wrap their head around it or not, they stand before you holy and blameless and beyond reproach because you reconciled all things through the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just ask, just as I thought right now, in 2015, Lord, take us all out there that we may just let the love of God flow out to all these people in Pasadena, wherever it is that we go. And we thank you, Lord, that your light will spread across this town in ways that maybe we've never even imagined. And we give you praise, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you that you love us, that you love mankind enough to send your son. Come fill us, Lord, with that spirit of love. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
For more files like this one, please visit newwinemedia.com.